Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. That's the short one. Stands for Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget all the other things you can do there, like find out about all of our Brain Trust members. And someone who is soon to join the ranks of our Brain Trust members is our guest this half hour, our new friend Tamar Jacoby. She's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and she writes extensively on immigration, citizenship, ethnicity, and race. She's the author of the very important new book called Reinventing the Melting Pot, The New Immigrants and What It Means to Be an American. Tamar, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
It's good to have you here as another member of our Brain Trust who is part of the Manhattan Institute organization. Tamar, the immigration is every day is becoming more and more of a front burner issue, isn't it?
That's true.
And it has been growing like that really for a long time. But I guess maybe is it fair to say that that 9-1-1 really kind of heightened our interest in this?
Yes, 9-1-1 heightened our interest. It's also a growing issue because it's a problem. It's like a hole in the roof. You know, we're living in a situation where the system is broken, and you know, when you live in a house and you have a hole in the roof, you can ignore it for a while, but eventually you have to pay attention to it.
Right. Yeah.
And it's politically a difficult issue, so people want to avoid it as long as they can, but finally, you kind of get to the point where you can't avoid it any longer.
Right. Well, and of course, we've got, you know, what have we got? Maybe probably something like 5 or 6,000 miles of border with two countries?
Well, exactly. Quite a bit more.
Yeah, I didn't know how much we had there. But
yeah, no, you're right. It's probably six and some.
But the thing is that and one of them, the Canadian border is virtually wide open, isn't it?
Yeah, but not that many people come illegally across the Canadian border.
They could if they want to, though. That's the issue.
Well, but let's not confuse. You're sliding into a kind of confusion, which is confusing hardworking immigrants with terrorists.
No. I agree with you. If the Mexicans were, you know, if they could get up through you know, get in a boat and go up through Canada, they could come into America pretty easily.
Well,
as
any border patrol agent will tell you, if we do much more to fortify the southern border, that's how they'll come. Because they're very determined to get here, and it's good for us. They come, they do work that we need done.
I was going to ask you about that. What is the tension between how much of this is a problem and how much of it is a benefit?
Well, I believe that economically, it's you know, almost entirely a benefit. I mean, there's some costs, but in the long run, the economic benefits far outweigh the costs.
Tell us how that manifests.
People come, do work that we need done, that we no longer raise our kids to do. I mean, I don't know, do you know anybody who's raising their kids to do stoop labor, you know, to work in the fields or to work as busboys?
I'm sure
your listeners know about who are the ready and hardest working employees out there. Immigrants do use services. They don't use much welfare or Medicaid or food stamps or that kind of service, but they do go to school and they.
Would you say that if you were talking to just to a California audience, though? The Californians, there seems to be an impact in California, doesn't there?
There's
the welfare?
An impact, but it's you're right. You're putting your finger on something. Locally, in some states, they take out more in services than they put in taxes. But if you look at the national picture, if you include what they pay in federal taxes, they actually pay in more than they take out in services.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. But locally, there's some impact, and it's like free trade on some American workers. There's a negative wage impact.
Right.
So you know, free trade really is kind of the best analogy. Overall, it's good for the economy. on particular people in particular locations, mm-hmm. there can be some costs.
Free trade is good for the economy, but it wasn't good for the textile industry, the American textile industry, for example.
Well, there you go. There's exactly.
Okay, tell us, give us an idea, give us something to get our hands around a little bit. What is the magnitude of the immigration issue? What, in terms of bodies, in terms of people, in terms of some of the economic issues? What are some of the numbers that would help
us? About a million to come net. Come every year, and we give visas.
And those are illegals now.
No, about two-thirds of them are legal.
Okay.
So the majority are legal, but there's a couple hundred thousand, several hundred thousand every year that are illegal.
Now the makeup of that million two, what is the makeup of? Is that just Hispanic or is
no,
that?
No, that includes Asians too, and I'm
okay.
forgetting exactly now, but it's about a quarter Asian, about half. Mexican.
Is it safe to say that most of the illegals are Mexican?
They're Chinese illegals too. It's a smaller number, but people there's an incredible set of smuggling syndicates that bring people from China in boats.
So what you're saying is only about 400,000 a year are illegal?
Yeah, net.
Uh huh.
People more come in, but people come and go home, and people are here and stay, and it's very complicated. And it's very hard to get an exact handle on. It's very hard to count. They're illegal. That's the point. But
right.
about 400,000 a year, but it's built up over the years. So we now have, and this is the shocking number, we now have somewhere we don't even know between maybe 8 and 12 million illegal people living in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't even know. Is it 8 or 12 million? I mean, what else is what else do we have such a very imprecise count of? And think how many industries. Operating in the black market.
You're a thought leader in this area. What should we do with those people?
I think the president has the right idea. I think we're not going to round them up and send them home. That's just inconceivable in this universe. They do work that we need done. They know the ropes here. I think we ought to give them a chance to earn their way in out of the shadows. Not just wave a wand and say it doesn't matter that you broke the law, but give them a chance to prove that they are hardworking and well-intentioned and really want to be here, pay a fine, and over some number of years earn their way to be on the right side of the law. And meanwhile, change the system so that we don't just create that in another 10 years we're going to have another bunch of people like that.
Right. Tamara Jacoby, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Where's your book available, Reinventing the Melting Pot?
At Amazon.com or at the Manhattan Institute website.
Tamara Jacoby, T-A-M-A-R. The last name is Jacoby with a Y. Quick break, 20 after. We'll be right back. I want to ask her about the driver's license issue when we come back after these messages. Stay with us, please. Back is 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our new friend, Tamara Jacoby. Tamara, I would have you on the show even if you weren't such a smart and cool lady. Just to be able
right.
to say, just to be able to say your name. I love your name.
I see. Well, thank you very much.
Tamara Jacoby. Doesn't that have a great ring, folks? Anyway, it's good to have you here on the show and looking forward to having you back other days. The new book is called Reinventing the Melting Pot. Some of you may have read her previous book, which became a watershed book on this issue of immigration. It's called Someone Else's House, America's Unfinished Struggle for Integration.
That was actually about race.
I'm sorry. You're right. I didn't mean to say immigration. I meant to say about race. That was a watershed book in that area. I just had integration on my mind. Immigration on my mind. By the way, give us the Manhattan Institute's website, please.
www.manhattan-institute.org.
And also, you're a frequent writer for publications like the New York Post and that sort of thing.
Wall Street Journal,
yeah.
Washington Post. LA
so you'll
Times.
See her byline in a lot of different places, and I encourage you to go to the Manhattan Institute website and see some of the other things she's doing. Why did immigration almost derail the law that was passed, the intelligence bill? Yeah.
Well, the president is gearing up to do the kind of reforms that I think are necessary, a guest worker program and some sort of of provision for the people already here. And he's been talking about this for about a year now, or he brought it up last January.
Right.
And the Republican Party is divided up the middle on this. There are Republicans who support the president, and there's a faction of Republicans who really feel, you know, they'd over their dead bodies. They'd rather see just about anything else happen in the country. And it's odd because it's sort of immigration is a strange bedfellow issue. There are a lot of Democrats who support the president. There's some or something like what the president wants to do, and then there's this war within the Republican Party.
This is a classic example of where reasonable people disagree, isn't it?
Well, it is. Not in every mood, I wouldn't say the other side was so reasonable, but there is this faction of the Republican Party that's just dead set against it, and they make
good points, though, don't they?
Well, but I think it depends how you look at it. Everyone agrees that we want to get control of the border. Everyone agrees that we want to restore the rule of law. I think most people agree that it's not a good idea to just say that somebody who's broken the law is, you know, never mind.
Right.
You can close your eyes. I agree with all those three points. But I think the president has a really the only solution to this. And I think the people, it's one of those issues where it gets very polarized. And
right.
There are people on the other side that I can't even agree about the facts with. And, you know, you're in some kind of, there's something wrong with the argument when the two sides can't even agree.
But the president, what you're saying, I think, is, and what I understand about his position is, he's saying, look, let's be pragmatic about this. Let's be realistic about this. Let's have two solutions. One is, let's come up with a plan to deal with the people who are here. Realistically, and as you said earlier, while we're doing that, let's come up with a plan that we can go forward with that'll prevent this from happening in the future.
Exactly, and given that we want this labor and we use it, and the international supply and demand sends it to us. Instead, let's not just put our heads in the sand and pretend they don't come.
Well, and pretend that we're not now like almost every other country in the world where they have expatriates.
Well, exactly. I mean, let's recognize that this is the case, and let's create a policy that deals with it instead of a policy that pretends it's not happening.
Well, how long has it been since you know, most Americans, as you said earlier, don't do landscaping work.
Many
of the bricks that are laid in America are laid by Mexicans.
Well, exactly. I mean, the one number, I try to avoid too many numbers, but the one number, in 1960, half of all American men dropped out of high school. Mm-hmm. So they were available to do the kind of work
right.
high school dropouts do.
That was what they expected to do.
Now only 10% of American men drop out of high school. And people just, there may be a few people around who still want to do that kind of work.
Right.
Nobody raises their kids for that.
That's right.
The workforce is aging. It's increasingly educated. We're just not. And, sure, we could make the choice. We could say we only want to, grow GDP growth of 3% rather than 4%. We're willing to sacrifice the economic benefit, and we're willing to have the kind of police state that would be necessary to prevent this.
Right.
But I don't think we are prepared to make that choice.
Tamar, I've got about one minute. Let's talk about the driver's license issue.
Well, so James Congressman Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin decided to use the intelligence bill to send a shot across the president's bow and say, I'm not going to go for your reforms. You're getting ready to pass them. I'm not going to go for them, and here's my shot. And the issue he chose to stand on was driver's licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And, it sounds very plausible. Who's not for secure driver's licenses?
Right.
I mean, what American is not for secure
driver's
licenses?
But is the next step beyond that national ID?
Well, we have almost a de facto. What's in the bill is a de facto national ID. The feds are going to set the standards for driver's licenses now, and there's going to be a machine readable strip on your driver's license where the info
right.
is determined by the feds. That is
right.
a de facto national ID. That is apparently acceptable to people in the wake of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But Sensenbrenner wanted to go one step further. He wanted no driver's licenses for people who were here illegally.
Right.
I don't think that's very smart.
That also doesn't fit in with the pragmatic approach either, does it?
Well, exactly. If they're driving, wouldn't you rather they had a license and insurance?
Tamar, will you come back and help us sort this out again another day?
I'd love to.
Tamar Jacoby, ladies and gentlemen, with the Manhattan Institute. Her book is called Reinventing the Melting Pot. Thanks, Tamar. Have a great holiday.
Thanks.
See you next time.
Too.
Quick break. Right back with Mr. Sam Reese. We're going to talk about salesmanship. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.